Good morning. This is Fran Michelle here with the Well Read Red. You have probably heard of, and perhaps have already read, the essay by Naomi Klein and Astra Taylor on the rise of end times fascism, published in April in The Guardian. But just in case you haven't yet, here are some excerpts and summary to get you started. The essay begins with a discussion of the movement for corporate city-states from the billionaires who are championing what they call exit, the principle that those with means have the right to walk away from the obligations of citizenship, especially taxes and burdensome regulation. These billionaires dream of splintering governments and carving up the world into hyper-capitalist, democracy-free havens under the sole control of the supremely wealthy, protected by private mercenaries, serviced by AI robots, and financed by cryptocurrencies. The startup country contingent is clearly foreseeing a future marked by shocks, scarcity, and collapse. To put it bluntly, the most powerful people in the world are preparing for the end of the world, an end they themselves are frenetically accelerating. The governing ideology of the far right in our age of escalating disasters has become a monstrous supremacist survivalism. Today's end times fascists are, Klein and Taylor point out, alive to our era of genuine existential danger, from climate breakdown to nuclear war to skyrocketing inequality and unregulated AI. But contemporary far-right movements are financially and ideologically committed to deepening those threats and lack any credible vision for a hopeful future. Klein and Taylor point to several slightly different groups within the end times fascist alliance. The ultra-wealthy, the MAGA masses, and the Christian nationalists see somewhat different versions of their lifeboat future. For the ultra-wealthy tech oligarchs, the lifeboat might be in feudal-style corporate city-states, or in luxury bunkers in Hawaii, or in digital clouds into which virtual consciousness is uploaded, or in a colony on Mars. For the MAGA masses, there are lower-cost bunkers and stockpiles of gold, guns, and meals ready to eat. And there is the vision of the whole nation as an armed bunker. Such state bunkers are, Klein and Taylor note, brutal in their determination to expel and imprison unwanted humans, even if that requires indefinite confinement in extranational penal colonies, and equally ruthless in their willingness to violently claim the land and resources, water, energy, critical minerals, they deem necessary to weather the coming shocks. For the Christian nationalists, the future is the rapture. Christian Zionists, for instance, see Israel's violence as evidence that the Holy Land is getting closer to the conditions under which the Messiah will return and the faithful will get their celestial kingdom. Not all of these apocalyptic visions are religious, but all share a rejection of this earth, our shared, collective, embodied life world. Klein and Taylor include a wealth of examples, quotations, and details connecting the dots among these groups and their actions and beliefs. They note that these movements build on past visions of eugenics, in which a small subset of humanity would be making decisions about which parts of the whole were worth continuing and which needed to be phased out or terminated. End times fascism is a self-reinforcing downward spiral, they note, pointing out that Trump 2.0's economic project is a Frankenstein's monster of the industries driving all of these threats: fossil fuels, weapons, and resource-ravenous cryptocurrency and AI. And everyone involved in these sectors knows that there is no way to build the artificial mirror world that AI promises without sacrificing this world. These technologies consume too much energy, too many critical minerals, and too much water for the two to coexist in any kind of equilibrium. Recently, the former Google executive Eric Schmidt admitted as much, telling Congress that AI's profound energy needs are projected to triple in the next few years, with much of it coming from fossil fuels because nuclear can't come online fast enough. This planet-incinerating level of consumption is necessary, he explained, to enable an intelligence higher than humanity, a digital god rising from the ashes of our relinquished world. To respond to all this, Klein and Taylor argue we need to both face it fully and to propose an alternative vision. Klein and Taylor suggest that the more people understand the extent to which the right has succumbed to the Armageddon complex, the more they will be willing to fight back, realizing that absolutely everything is now on the line. We must help each other face the depth of the depravity that has gripped the hard right in all of our countries. To move forward with focus, we must first understand that we are up against an ideology that has given up not only on the premise and promise of liberal democracy, but on the livability of our shared world, on its beauty, on its people, on our children, on other species. The forces we are up against have made peace with mass death. They are treasonous to this world and its human and non-human inhabitants. Then, Klein and Taylor argue, we must counter their apocalyptic narratives with a far better story about how to survive the hard times ahead without leaving anyone behind. A story capable of draining end times fascism of its gothic power and galvanizing a movement ready to put it all on the line for our collective survival. A story not of escaping, but of staying put and staying faithful to the troubled earthly reality in which we are enmeshed and bound. They emphasize the notion of here-ness, a commitment to the here-ness of this particular ailing planet, to these frail bodies, to the right to live in dignity wherever on the planet we are, even when the inevitable shocks force us to move. Such a future would require its own apocalypse, its own world-ending and revelation, though of a very different sort, because in order to make earthly planetary survival possible, some versions of this world need to end. We have reached a choice point not about whether we are facing apocalypse, but what form it will take. Our task is to build a wide and deep movement strong enough to stop these unhinged traitors, a movement rooted in a steadfast commitment to one another across our many differences and divides, and to this miraculous, singular planet. I've been reading from The Rise of End Times Fascism by Naomi Klein and Astra Taylor, published in April in The Guardian. I recommend you read the whole essay. I don't think that their argument means we do not prepare, but we do not prepare in order to hunker down alone in our bunkers, waving off everyone else. We prepare so we can help each other, and we prepare by connecting with each other. As Margaret Killjoy puts it on her site, Live Like the World is Dying, the goal of being prepared is that by having your own stuff together, you're more able to help others. And gear is less important than skills. Skills are less important than relationships. We prepare by connecting with each other, here, where we are. We prepare for a better and more caring world. A better apocalypse. A better catastrophe, as Andrew Boyd phrases it for his book, I Want a Better Catastrophe. I encourage us all to recognize the magnitude of the dangers we face and that some in power have embraced. I encourage us all to embrace our here-ness through connecting with our neighbors, our unions, or faith groups, or activist groups, or mutual aid groups, and through KABU, your volunteer-powered community radio station that for over 50 years has been serving the Pacific Northwest, right here, with trusted news, life-saving information, inspiring music, and deep community engagement. For the Old Mole Variety Hour, this has been Fran Michel. It's the end of the world.